The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We switch gears very quickly as we start chatting with this young gentleman. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Are you hearing clearly?
Yeah.
All right, welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Thank you.
Must apologize for the inconsistencies and inconveniences you have experienced, but it's always a pleasure chatting with astute individuals such as yourself. So, let's find out who you are.
Okay. My name is Selwyn Bajan. I used to be the executive human resources manager for the largest state corporation in the Caribbean. I was also the chairman of NADAP, the National Alcohol and Drug Prevention Programs, and I worked with the United Nations. And in my retirement, I have set up a virtual university to educate people, just as you said earlier, to be able to successfully engage in the workplace. So we are an internationally recognized City and Guilds approved center for programs for people to be able to get up to the master's level qualification based on work experience, not just on going to school, but it also includes developing people in areas like mindfulness, emotional intelligence, stress management, and total person development. So that's a little background on where I've come from.
Mr. Stewart, I want to say thank you. You know, I like what I'm hearing, you know, in terms of the world of work. I think we have missed the mark along the way by forcing ourselves to believe in the concept of academic accreditation and qualifications. Because there's an old saying, license don't drive car, but experience does. All right. And when it comes down to the world of education, you said you created something virtual. Let's elaborate a little bit more on that platform.
Right. Many people can learn through self-directed learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's more powerful than just being in a classroom and things are thrown at you. You do your research, you do your studies, you send back information. You can access material virtually at times that are convenient to you. So you don't have to be in the classroom from 8 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
You come home from work, you want to progress anything, you can set aside in a disciplined manner times and days for you to study your material virtually. Now, one of the interesting things, I like your own sensitivity towards this. In Kearney, for example, where I was a human resources manager, we would have people working in the factory environment for 40 years. And we'd bring somebody in from the Standard University, UW and other places, and they'd take 3 years at least to learn from these fellows. But when they closed down Kearney for its own reasons, politically and so on, these fellows were now looking for jobs as security guards, running taxi, setting up a little roti shop somewhere, but they had absolute skills to run a factory that was producing thousands and thousands of pounds of sugar and rum and so on on an ongoing basis.
And just to not cut you, but just to add to what you just said, again, you are speaking to experience. Now, I don't know when it started on my short stint on this planet, but one of the things I've come to learn over the years is that we like to see a piece of paper with a set of letters and things behind a person's name, and we believe that makes you authoritative over me. You are now in position to handle this job. Now, everybody, it's something that you just said a few moments ago that I am very passionate about. You talk about getting into the workspace, and the way education should be designed is to give you experience. I had the privilege of doing my aviation classes to become a pilot. And when I did that some many years ago, and I started getting into the world of aviation, what I thought was the norm. I saw something different. So I went to school, paid my money, did my entrance exam, was successful, accepted into the school. So I'm going to become a pilot, a private pilot. And when I walked into the school, I have 45 hours minimum. Within 45 hours, you should be able to do your check ride and qualify. So I'm thinking, okay, when I get, no, it could be 45, 55, anyway thereabouts. So when I got into the school, the first day of class, I'm expecting to go and sit in a classroom. And the instructor says, no, no, no. When we got there, he says, okay, so use with this instructor, whatever, and this is what they file a plan. And he says, come out to me, and he took us to an aircraft to do a walk around.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 3 hours, each time we come to class, because 1 hour per day, every time we come, first 3 to 4 hours, we was in the air. And I didn't understand it then. And he said, you can only appreciate what you learn in the classroom when you have had the practical.
Right. So, City and Girls is an international educational,
mm-hmm.
vocational educational entity.
I'm familiar.
They're in about 80 countries of the world,
mm-hmm.
and they developed a program where a person like yourself, based on work experience, not just the academia,
mm-hmm.
based on work experience, can receive an internationally recognized award that is equivalent to an associate degree,
wow.
or a bachelor's degree, or a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm trained by City and Girls to facilitate that process. After I retired from the corporate world, I wanted to dedicate myself to uplifting people, especially people who, from challenges, difficulties, learning disabilities,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Financial insecurities, have not been able to go to higher levels of education, but not from intelligence, lack of intelligence, or competence. So City and Girls has designed this program, and we take an individual through their work experience, what you've done, how it shows several categories of competence in leadership, in teamwork, in communication skills, in customer satisfaction. We know how to pull it out of people. And they can then receive one of those awards that is comparable or equivalent,
mm-hmm.
to the associate degree or the bachelor's degree or the master's degree. And this is internationally recognized. In fact, out there, it's a global village now.
Mm-hmm.
City and Guilds programs are more accepted in the international market, and say the good UWE programs, we're not cutting down UWE at all,
mm-hmm,
they belong
mm-hmm.
to, but this changes the story. So we had people applying in Canada, in Poland, in the UK, through the, mm-hmm. the Caribbean CSME, who, when they presented this award, which indicates their work experience, their competencies, because we take photographs of their work, we get recommendations of their work, they describe their work in these areas, and I interview them and I help them to put their package together. They get an award, so when they now apply, put it on their resume, and they apply and they go based on this award, the person who is going to employ them or even promote them in their companies sees that these people have, they can see that these people have significant work experience comparable to a master's level degree.
Mm-hmm.
We have a situation now where a person can go straight from school, secondary school,
mm-hmm.
to an MBA. Straight. Not one day of work required. It's purely academic. I used to be the HR manager, and people would come with that degree, and they're good people, and they're intelligent people, but they don't have the work experience. Like you said, they didn't walk around the aircraft. They did not touch an aircraft. They did not smell how it goes. They did not have little challenges. So this is something I'm very passionate about. that people in the Caribbean, talented, educated, well, educated in terms of skill sets, creative, fellows who created the pan, for example. Mm-hmm. What an instrument. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of dialogue about it these days. So it shows that these people deserve the award based on work, achievements, and competencies. And then what we do in our organization, mm-hmm. we help to build, if there are some weaknesses in their academia, we also build their academia. So there's a combination of work-based learning and academic accomplishments.
I have a question for you. You've been in the HR field for a number of years. How do you, what are your recommendations and thoughts in terms of changing HR management, HR management processes in terms of employment opportunities for others? Because in HR, the manager or the recruitment officer under the body of HR, we're looking for a manager. We need a supervisor on the floor. We need this, somebody to oversee operations here. But then we look for suitably qualified individuals, and unsuitable individuals on their resume would not be acknowledged. So we see here, you don't have those accreditations and letters, yeah. We don't acknowledge you. Yeah. What is your recommendation based on as your HR, former HR yeah. services, to help change the mindset of accepting persons?
That's a brilliant question. We should, along with academic and intellectual pursuits, that's mm-hmm. important because that means the brain
works.
Has been developed.
Yes.
And you understand critical thinking and you understand decision making and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But these fields coming to learn, we should have had them apprenticed. So like the doctors do 5 years in medical school,
mm-hmm.
and then they must do 2 years
internship
mm-hmm. and learn in the practical, and then they can be called the doctor, the qualified doctor that can go on. So I think the tertiary level institutions, UWE and other places, should be working in close partnership with institutions in the environment, business and industry,
mm-hmm.
and let these people, while they're pursuing academic, also experience the workplace. Part of the challenge was not just not having the competence, you know. A lot of people come out of the tertiary level institution. Don't talk about the secondary school. They don't know how to attend an interview. They don't know how to dress. They don't know anything about the company. There is an assumption with a lot of young people these days that I've gone to school, I have my certificate, you had to give me a walk.
But
when you have the master's, the MBA that you never worked a day in, you want a big time job with the car and the perks and so on. So the combination of academic journey in the field, whatever is the field, engineering, mm-hmm. whatever is the field, and hands-on work-based experience, I think that is the combination. And in there, there are quality standards for work. And that is another one I wanted to add to your question. Young people coming into the field should understand that there are quality standards associated with every discipline of vocation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the groups like City and Guilds have had an advantage. They provide hands-on training and quality assurance training,
mm-hmm.
so that when you go into the workplace, you're not going there to learn again, you're going there to contribute.
I talk on this program a lot when it deals with the secondary school syllabus. Recently, I was dealing with financial literacy, and what I figured out is that persons, I was reading a book recently, My Rich Dad, My Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And that book, I break the surface and I reach like 27, 28 pages in, and I can't put the book down. Because one of the things I learned is that we do not teach financial literacy. We don't. You mentioned something that is very critical. We are getting students coming up at Form 5, about to do CXE or CAP. We are getting students on the A level, lower 6, upper 6, about to come in. They're coming out with distinctions. They're coming out with their various academic qualities. But nowhere in that training, in the school syllabus, is preparing anyone for when you're... let's take making money. We are taught You have to get a job, work for somebody, make your money, look for a pension. So we're teaching you continuously on a dependency syndrome. We are not teaching you to become an entrepreneur. We are not, instead of teaching you how to write a resume, how about teaching you how to write a good financial plan or a good business plan so that instead of writing a resume to get a job, you can write a plan to create a job. We don't teach those things.
Okay.
How do we get the education system to come up with a mindset together with your platform to help our 14, 15, and 18-year-olds?
The question is very relevant. I just came back from a conference in Barbados for all the heads of tertiary level institutions.
Brilliant. I saw that. How was it?
Yes. And I was asked as one of the keynote speakers to talk about exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What are the elements of personal development that need to be added to academia?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you a little bit about it. But I want to add something before I go there, just based on what you were saying. One of the biggest stressors on planet Earth for human beings is the inability to maintain healthy relationships. Intimacy relationships, or just bonding relationships, marital relationships. Another one is poor communication capabilities. The ability to listen, the ability to talk, the ability to present ideas. Another one is just simple things like the management of stress. So I advocated at this conference, and I'm doing that in my organization, which is called AHA, Advanced Human Development Associates, that along with the City and Guilds programs where you can get a bachelor's degree, the associate degree, the master's degree, we teach stress management. We teach emotional intelligence. We teach relationship development. We teach how to develop your personality in a way that brings you joy. So I did some courses at Harvard Medical School. I've done many, many areas of studies. I have 5 master's degrees. But anyway, I studied at Harvard. And at Harvard, I mastered a field called longevity living. So I am certified from Harvard in human longevity living, lifestyle medicine, mind-body medicine. And so I make sure that in my work in teaching and training, people get a knowledge of how to live long, how to live healthy, how to live happy, how to take care of yourself and your life to detox stress and to work on relationships and so on, so that you're living a fulfilled life in whatever field. So that is why one of the reasons why I've dedicated my time as a retired person now. I have a team of people that I'm training to run these courses and so on. We give them a really integrated self-development process along with your vocational skill set. So you could earn the money to buy the car. So that you could earn the money for vacation, whatever, for food, for paying your mortgage. But so many people in our society today are stressed out. There's like an epidemic of insomnia. And then you might turn to sex for that, or you might turn to drinking or marijuana, which has its value, but is not necessarily a developmental thing. So we teach this, as I said, I studied at Harvard, lifestyle medicine, how to live so that you have a sense of balance, a sense of wellness, a sense of purposefulness in your life and whatever you're doing. So the academia and these awards from City and Guilds are balanced with this other level of knowledge, of personal development, of self-development, of emotional maturity, of being aware, of learning how to communicate, learning how to laugh a lot more, of using our rivers and streams and the sea, of not just killing ourselves with overwork, because a lot of what the illnesses we suffer from today, diabetes, high blood pressure, insomnia, and other things are what are called lifestyle illnesses. They are a result of the lifestyle we have chosen.
Hmm.
The food we eat, the diet we take, how much water we drink, how we drink water, and so on. So that is the integrated knowledge that we bring to people along with the certification.
You know, I have a call coming in on the line here. I think I want to engage because it's salient like that. It's good. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Davey. Tune into the program about 5 minutes ago and listen to the gentleman talk.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we have a lot of problems in this world. We have health problems. We have... Let's deal with Trinidad. Mm-hmm. I believe that most Trinidadians are emotionally immature in that they don't know how to deal with a lot of challenges that faces them from day to day.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Trinidadians have a problem with dealing with the word no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a simple word like that, and they can, or a different point of opinion or a different point of view, they have problems dealing with that. And the place has become so polarized that if you have a different opinion, nobody wants to do nothing with you. And that is the level of immaturity we have reached, not only in Trinidad, but worldwide, that people of different political persuasion choose not to have anything to do with the other because simply because of their politics. And this is growing rampant like wildfire now around the world. And I believe it's an incapability of people to separate politics from family. You had a gentleman by the name of Robert Kennedy who endorsed a candidate in America, and his family, his sister, come out and say she wanted nothing to do with him. Right? And these are educated people. These are wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
So it affects all manner of people, regardless of your stature.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be dealt with. So, but I'll tell you one thing. Yeah? The politicians encourage it because they themselves could assume power while the country is divided.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you fight? This is my question. How do you combat such a mindset when it is encouraged by the leaders of respective countries? I'll listen to it.
Thank you very much for your question. I think that's phenomenal.
That's very important what you have just described. This little country of ours, let's talk about our little country,
mm-hmm.
1.2, 1.3 million people. We should be able to work with each other, integrate. When we go to a football match and Trinidad playing, we're all Trinidadians.
Mm-hmm.
When the politicians, you are absolutely right, Kola, when the politicians take over, we start thinking we're from Indian people, we're Afro people, we're this people, that people. It is ridiculous. And you are absolutely right about the emotional immaturity. But that is part of a result of the educational system, which does not spend enough time to develop the personality, the character, nationalism, understanding people, different people, the ethnic groups, or backgrounds, where we've come from. We have to spend some time. But I just wanted to also add that part of the problem for Caribbean men, Trinidad men, is a false sense of masculinity. That is based on actual emotional immaturity.
All right.
So we're bossing around the environment because we have to be boss now, we have to be in charge, but we're not emotionally mature. So we teach that. We teach
that's
emotional
what you're,
intelligence.
Before you depart this interview, you'll give us some information as to how we get in touch. Good afternoon, caller. Hello? All right. You know, something you said there while the gentleman was talking, you said it's men. And I think we have failed our boys.
Yes.
They can't cry.
Correct.
Why are you crying?
Correct.
Get up and shake it off.
Right.
Do we teach our boys to lead? or to dictator household.
Correct.
That's what we need to understand. Are we teaching you to lead your family? Be the head, not the dictator. You're not the boss. You're the head. What your temperament is what sets the tone for what the family follows.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a loud, vivacious, or you emotionally unintelligent, you don't understand your position, your role, even for your own self, how could you be the head of others? Then we take persons, we bring them into organizations. I often say that a lot. You wasn't in the trenches. You don't understand what we face every time we sit behind this microphone and these boards and these switches. But you have an MBA in what radio is supposed to look like. So you have a theory of it in your head with zero practicality. But then you are hired to be my boss. You have no sensitivity for what we experience on the ground. But you have a MBA in directorship, in leadership, in human resources, in business management. So because you went and read a book that another man wrote, this is how I look at it. You're reading a book that another man wrote, giving you a consensus as to what business management is about, or business acumen, but you have not developed the skills yourself.
Right.
You haven't developed the experience to know if what this man wrote is fact or fiction.
Well, that's critical thinking. You can critically analyze the information being presented to you. Based on you've worked with your hands. A lot of our mechanics in Trinidad have come through that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can handle equipment and machinery international level, mm-hmm. but they work through their hands. I wanted to also add something that you're saying. We have a false sense of self. We are afraid of a man who could cry, or somebody with sensitivity, or somebody who could pause to listen to another person, or somebody who can reach out to another person with compassion and so on. So we do have this false sense of personality. Now, this is the point I want to make, though, to add to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
If we are developed with a false sense of personhood, personality, characteristics, values, we're not talking religion now.
No.
Values, mm-hmm. character. And if you have grown through the education system,
mm-hmm.
but you are emotionally immature, in other words, you can't relate to others, you can't be sensitive, you can't share, you can reach very high in your organization, CEO, prime minister, whatever. You can move very high, but you're still immature. You might be competent in accounting. Yes, we need that. You might be competent in construction or whatever, or in human resources, you might be competent. But the world also is demanding that we have a sense of compassion, a sense of listening, a sense of critical thinking, a sense of being able to challenge each other without it becoming a fight, and learn from challenges, and learn from stumbles, and learn and move on. So we have this false sense that if we have the paper and we have the position, we're okay. It's false. It's false. A lot of development is required to be a more competent person, personality, characteristics. The ability to lead others, for example, requires not bossing people, but listening and moving people, and bringing out potential. So there's a lot. This is why in my retirement, I've dedicated my life to this.
And listen, I, you spoke something there right up my alley. I have preached this time and time again. A manager or supervisor is a person who is able to motivate the staff beneath them, their subordinates, to get the job done.
Build teams.
Build the team. You in charge. They have assigned you as a supervisor over 25 individuals in this plant. They must look at you and say, you're a team leader. Because when we come to work, we want to come to work and work with you.
Yes.
Your character speaks to that.
Right.
So you have been in a position and you were able to motivate these 25 people to be productive when the day comes.
Right. Now, one of the things I'm doing, I know we might run out of time soon, so I just want to cover...
I want you to get to that now, yes.
Yeah. I am available to go to groups, companies. This is free. This is, I ain't doing this to make money. When you do the City and Guilds program, yeah, you pay fees and so on, mm-hmm. because we have to pay City and Guilds and so on. But in my retirement, because I was with NADAP, with the United Nations, with the state corporations and so on, in mm-hmm. my retirement, I am going to organizations, churches, community centers. I'm working with communities in Valencia and Cuba, squatting communities, and I go and build their leadership competencies mm-hmm. and their planning abilities and so on. I do that. Mm-hmm. So any of you who are listening want to have a lecture or a discussion in human longevity living, in lifestyle medicine, mm-hmm. in personality development and so on, I'm doing this free in my retirement now. You could contact me and I will come and we'll talk in your organization, in your community group, in your sports club, whatever, because this is what is required to build personality and build characters. So you can call me.
That's right. I want to get your contacts.
I'm going to give you my number.
Folks, pay attention to this loud and clear.
Two numbers. 326-1416. 326-1416 and 756-8244. 756-8244. I live at Sevilla Compound in Coover and Kearney. The name is Selwyn Badger, and if you just drive in there and ask for me, people will know. But this is the work I want to do now. I want to build people. I want to give people a sense of self with a combination of vocational competence, vocational qualifications, vocational awards, mm-hmm. and self-development. So mm-hmm. it's a beautiful work. I'm also looking for people who have this inclination and want to be trained to help others. Mm-hmm. So I'm a life skills coach too, but I'm looking for people who would like to be to coach others.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested
to coach others with all these things we're talking about. So I'm asking people to get in touch with me and I will train you as a coach. No money, eh?
I'm interested.
I retired. I want to help my country.
I on board with you.
So I will train you to coach people with about longevity living. It's only 7 things you're supposed to do for longevity living, you know. It's real sweet. It's sweet and it don't cost any money. So I will train you to be longevity living specialist where you could talk to your children and talk to people, and talk to young people, and also to coach people in life skills development. That is what the country, and we want to do this not to make money, but to build country. So this is the work. So let me give you those numbers again. 326-1416, 326-1416, and 756-8244. I already have a team of people who work with me, a team of professionals who work with me to help to develop others and to bring the knowledge out. So let me just remind people, the City and Guilds program is for people who want to get the equivalent of an associate degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree from work experience, high quality work experience, mm-hmm. and then we'll complement you with some normal training and so on. So a lot of people, you could be driving a taxi, but you're driving a taxi for 25 years. You know about money. You know about customer service. You know about many things. I helped you to put your portfolio and receive this award. It builds your sense of self-esteem. You'll be surprised
to know what you're qualified as and where
look,
you are. Yeah.
My work experience mm-hmm. gave me a master's level acceptance that is internationally acceptable. It sounds strange because it is contrary to the academic stream.
That we know.
Yes. So mm. I'll be very happy to work with individuals and groups and anybody who want to become life skills coaches for other people. And the special one is this longevity living things. I'm 76 years old. Mm. I'm cool. I'm working. I'm
when
working
I watching
hard.
The man, he's smiling. You normal? You
so
look.
We could live long, healthy and happy. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. research has been done on what you do to live long, healthy and happy.
Okay.
It's scientifically researched. So it's not something we pull out from religion and or just from our philosophy. It's research-based, and it's seven things to do. I can give you a brief on them. It's your sense of self in context with divinity. Not just your religion, but a sense of God, a sense of a higher power.
A higher power, most important.
Right.
Right.
Your sense of body care.
Self-care, self-maintenance.
What you eat, how you eat, when you eat, your sense of exercise. Your sense of bonding with others. The sense of compassion and not being self-centered. Your sense of nature and creation. Trinidad is blessed, real blessed. We could go Maracas, we could go here, we could go there. But we, when we're busy working, we forget that we're part of nature. We don't belong to concrete and things. So a lot of people tell me, it all sounds good, but where go find the time? That's how we talk in Trinidad. And they say, a busy boy. But what you're doing is you're busy being busy. You're not blossoming. You're not growing. You're not participating in other things, music or art or dance or games or working with people. The formula is so beautiful and it don't cost money. It's about habits. So I'm looking for people who want to work with us and share this knowledge from Harvard University and other places, because I don't want to use that to make money. I do earn a living from the City and Guilds programs because I have to train people and there's a cost. But on the other programs, I'm so happy to have. So I'm working in Valencia, in the squatting community. I'm working in Couva, what we call the squatting community. I'm working in La Brea. We're working in different places just to help community groups to learn this information.
Interesting. Well, you have certainly got my attention and those callers. I've already seen a message to get your number, so I'll pass it on.
Yes.
You can expect those calls.
We're looking forward to work.
Wow.
No, I'm an old man now, right?
In your mind or body?
In the sense that I'm 76 years old.
Well, okay, not because of the age. In your mind, you're young.
But you might not, looking at me, you might know I used to be the captain in Upper River College football. And I used to be the captain in Upper River College cricket. And I have 5 master's degrees. And all that sort of thing.
I was the same back. I have 5 master's degrees, boy.
Yes.
Some people struggle to get 1. You have 5.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I'm not propagating myself. I'm saying I'm credible to work with people.
And help.
To share the knowledge and to empower people. And we need more of that in the country. One of the callers was saying we just kind of selfish now.
Yeah. We lost touch with our empathy and our sympathetic nature as a human. We just lost touch with that, you know. We see somebody in an accident. Before we render assistance, we look at our phones and try to record.
Yes.
You know, I was watching on social the other day, and a fight is brewing between two women in the middle of the road, cars into oncoming traffic. And it took about 2 minutes into the video before I see someone who was there run and say, hey, or they break it up. But everybody with a camera phone just recording, you know. So that sense of empathy and sympathy is out the door.
Compassion.
Because that compassion is gone.
Compassion.
Unless it reached by your bedroom step, you don't care.
So I'm just calling on people.
We call it, right? Guys.
So don't bother about whether you have this qualification or that qualification. You're human. You're qualified to empower others.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for chatting with us this afternoon.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.